How many believe that God is your source? Do you really? Or do we just believe that he's our source when we have enough money in the bank? See, the question is sometimes, do we really believe that God is our provider? And here in Matthew 6:24, it says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or we would say God and riches, or money. How many know that money is a tool? It's a tool to help us fulfill our God-given destiny, what God's assignment is for you in the earth. Did you know that? God wants you to have enough. This is a definition that I like concerning prosperity, is that you have no debt and you have enough money to fulfill God's divine assignment on your life, and you've got money left over to help someone else fulfill theirs. What do you think? That's my definition, because that's going to look a lot different for the farmer in Uganda than it is for someone that's called to the elite of Hollywood, isn't it? That may look like two different things. But if you have enough to fulfill your God-given assignment, amen, with no debt, and enough left over to help someone else fulfill theirs, isn't that richness? Isn't that the blessing of God without sorrow? Amen. And that, and then you don't have to ask money if you can fulfill what God wants you to do. Amen. How many know we're not supposed to ask money if we can do what God wants us to do? We're supposed to ask Him and trust Him. And really, sometimes people ask, well, how much is too much? Whatever amount it takes to get your eyes off of God as your provider. For some people, it might be $100. They got $100 in their pocket and they're trusting in their $100. And they lost their what? Trust in God. Other people, you might give them millions of dollars and it never takes their trust in God. See, that's based upon our relationship. That's why we're spending time with Him. So that He is our source. And if He gives us abundance, we don't get our trust in it. Amen. Our trust is in Him. I know a guy right now, God has blessed him, and he has I know this is actually true. This particular person has $1 million that God's given him. And he said, I just can't wait till God tells me to give it away, all of it. He said, I'm just waiting for God to tell me to give all of it away. How many want to die to the love of money that much? Where it doesn't affect you, because our trust is not in the money. It's in God. And if He gets it to you, He can help you. He can get it through you. Amen. How many knows if you're a hose for God, you're a conduit, right, for His blessing. How many know the inside of the hose gets wet too? Amen. If He can flow through us, and we can fulfill whatever He asks us to do and keep trusting Him as our provider. Amen. All right. How many are going to trust Him more? Amen. We're going to cast the care on Him and put our trust in the Master, because He is the provider. How many believe that? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. You say, well, Pastor, it doesn't look well. Where in the Bible does it say to look at your circumstances to determine whether you're believing God? I want you to bring that scripture to me. I would love to see it. Amen. I know we live in both realms. We live in two realms. But faith in God will ultimately, if we don't quit and we don't stop believing Him, is going to produce enough in your bank account. God knows how to help you. And if we're listening to Him and we're being obedient to Him in all that we know, then He will take care of us. Everybody say this with me. No one can take care of me like Dad. No one can take care of me better than Dad. And I'm talking about our Heavenly Dad, our Abba Father. And if we can bring ourselves and believe Him, trust Him, then His heart flows in us, and we're not afraid to let go. We're not afraid to receive. We can be receivers and givers, and we can be followers and walk with Him. Amen. Hallelujah. What a joy. What an honor, Father, to give to You today. What an honor, Lord, that we can give a portion of what You give us back to You. Lord, that we can walk with You, that we can hear Your voice, and we can follow You. And Father, that You are not requiring of us, but we can do it because we love You and because we purpose in our heart, and we can do it because we hear Your voice. We are Your sheep, and we follow You, Lord. We seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, Father, are added to us. You care for us, Lord, abundantly, Lord. You care for us, and we thank You for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, anybody get anything today out of that? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's not a sin to be rich. You know, some people think it's more holy to be poor, don't they? Well, then why does God tell us to give to the poor? Wouldn't we destroy their great relationship with God? Something to think about. Maybe next week. All right. God bless. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you do have a prayer request today online, please type it in, and I'm sure they'll get it to us, and we'll agree with you. But before I get rolling, Diana, I want you to remember you're healed. You're whole. Hallelujah. I hear the Lord saying you're healed. I do. I was sitting up here this morning, and I just want you to know He said, and you know He said it, but you're healed. The healing power of God is working. Praise God. All right. How many know what we've been talking about on Sunday morning? Well, I'm not sure, Pastor. We talked about a few different things. Last week, we've been talking about faith. And faith, really, when we break it down, what is faith? Faith is what you believe. You firmly are persuaded. You are fully persuaded of what you believe. When you are firmly persuaded of what God has said, faith has come. Faith can come quickly. Faith can come easily when we choose to believe what God said. But there's something else. Faith has to continually be fed. We have to feed our faith with the same things that produced it to begin with, the same scriptures. Why? Because we're human. Because how many know? Trials come, tests come, the enemy comes, thoughts come. And if we don't continually feed it, our faith can begin to wane. It can go down. It can be not as strong as it should be. Anybody ever experienced that in your life? Maybe there's areas in your life where you're real strong in faith. And other areas, maybe not so strong. You know, we have to have faith. What? A lot of times we talk about faith for finance, faith for what? For health, faith. What about peace? The peace of God in your life? Do you have a few scriptures on the peace of God, if that's what you need? You say, well, I'm not having much peace. Maybe you're thinking on what the world thinks on too much, and we need some peace of God. And He said, what does God say? He said, I'll give you perfect peace, whose mind is what? Stayed on Me. You know, He said, I've given you a covenant of peace I'm not going to take from you. See, there's other things besides just healing and prosperity for us to agree with God on. Those are things we can see easily. But how about the inward things? Amen. How about believing God for gentleness? Anybody ever thought about that? Find you some scriptures on gentleness that you put in your heart and meditate on and speak about? What about joy? Isn't that one of the fruit of the Spirit? If you're in depression, maybe joy would help you a lot. Amen. Get you some scriptures. If you need help with that, we'll be glad to help you. But take a look. Get in the Word of God. Find the scripture that covers your case. What does the Word of God say about joy? We know Nehemiah 8:10, right? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Well, what else does he say about joy? The Bible said Jesus had joy above his fellows, above those around him. Hallelujah. Can you see Jesus? He had joy. Joy is not based on circumstances. It's based on truth. And it's based on who you really are. It's deeper than happiness. Happiness deals with our circumstance, but joy goes beyond. And we can have joy regardless of what we see, regardless of our circumstances. You say, well, how does that happen? It happens by us meditating on the truth of God's Word. And that's what brings faith. We know that faith comes, what, by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's only really one way it comes, and that's by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. That means we hear it more than once, more than twice. And many times it comes when we find scriptures. I like to say, you know, find you a good 5 or 6 scriptures in each area of your life where you feel you need to grow. Or if God shows you something, then we can bring that forward. You can look in that area, or maybe more scriptures, depending on what you're dealing with. Overcoming stronghold, overcoming a habit, whatever it is. We can overcome those things with the Word of God. And when we take that and we think about it, and then what? That faith builds on the inside of us. Say, well, now I have faith. I believe that what God said is true. But how many know faith has to also be released with words? In the earth, God worked with words. He said that the world was framed with the Word of God. It's upheld with the word of His power, what He has said. He set it in motion, and it hasn't changed. How many know the earth pretty much is the same as it was a long time ago? Except for before the fall. After the fall, the earth hasn't really changed much, has it? It's changed some. Why? Because it's under the curse. That's why we see a lot of the things we see. Wicked. You know, Jesus said in the end times, what, there's going to be more famines, more earthquakes, more tornadoes, more of these destructive things on the earth. The earth is groaning for redemption. It wants to be redeemed. But how many know He has already redeemed us from many things in the midst of where we are? In the midst of turmoil, peace is available. In the midst of turmoil, in the midst of torment, peace is available. In the midst of wickedness, righteousness can reign. Righteousness, yeah, that's something that you have too. We have scriptures that can fill those areas of our life. But once faith comes, it's got to be released with words. And in order to keep our faith working constantly, it has to be fed. If your faith is not strengthened and fed, it can begin to, like I said, wane or move, go downward. It must be fed daily, that we be not, so that we're not moved by what we see or what is around us. Faith must be strong to carry us through in the midst of storm. How many know there's storms of life that come? Remember when Jesus told the disciples to go to the other side of the lake? Were they expecting the storm? They were not, were they? They weren't expecting a storm. He said, go to the other side. The storm blew up and they were doing everything they knew to do. What? In the natural. They're bailing water. They're trying to get this thing straightened out. And where was Jesus? He was asleep in the storm because he knew what God said. He had the relationship with the Father. And that's what our prayer life is all about. Building up ourselves, praying in the Holy Ghost. That builds us up, what? On the faith that God has placed on the inside of you and I. We've all been given that measure of faith. Romans 12. Really, the measure of faith to fulfill your God-given destiny. Your God-given assignment. Let's go to Romans 12 for a minute. Thank you, Holy Spirit. How many are believing for utterance this morning? Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit's way, His will. Romans chapter 12. And I know we look at the first two verses a lot, but let's look a little further today. Hallelujah. Romans 12, verse 3. Says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now, a measure of something is what? It's part of the whole. Anybody ever been in class? You know, you get in a third grade and they start teaching you a little bit about third or fourth grade, whatever it is. They start teaching you about fractions. Anybody ever thought, start learning about fractions? You know, they get the pie out, you know. Well, how much would you like? Well, would you like the 1/3 or do you want the 1/64th piece? I want the 1/64th and you just get your little tiny sliver. And you're trying to figure out, well, how come that number got bigger and my piece got smaller? You know, and the guy got 1/3. He got a whole big old piece of pie. And so we learned that a measure is part of the whole. In other words, the body of Christ as a whole. But you receive the measure to fulfill what? Your place. Because that's what he's talking about here. He said, you know, in verse 2, the end of 2, he says, you know, that we're not conformed to this world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our mind that we may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for our life. Then he says, don't think of yourself so highly, more highly than what you ought, but according to the measure. And the measure of what? Of what he's given you. That measure of faith that he's given you. Now, some people have got into it and they were trying to talk about, well, is it the measure or a measure? It's one and the same. Amen. It's part of a whole. You're part of the body of Christ. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, to our beliefs, to our understandings, to our what? Firm persuasion, our fully convinced persuasion of God's word. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And so here he's saying, let our faith that God has given us empower the gifts that he has placed within us. Use that faith to fulfill what he's called you to do. We were talking about that, right? Having enough. So, well, what do I do if I don't have enough to fulfill? We begin to believe God. We begin to trust him for enough. And we continue to say, Father, you are more than enough. You are my provider. You are my provision. If he asks us to do something that we can't afford, that would be step one. To begin to do every step that you can to move in that direction of what he's called you to do. I mean, most people don't start out and buy. How many people, you know a business person? Not very many, sometimes. But most businessmen don't start out and buy a $5 million business, do they? So, well, they don't have $5 million. That would be one reason why, wouldn't it? And most don't. You say, well, why can't they? Well, they can't qualify even for a loan for that much. Sometimes there's some businessmen that God's called, and they say, well, what you do is you go down to the bank, you get a $5 million loan, you buy a business, and you get started. How many have ever heard that? How many of that left you out? It left me out. I've heard it before. Well, what I did is I went down. Well, that's good if that's possible or if that's what God tells you to do. And you have the means to do that and you're able to work that out. That's fine and well. But it's following what? Our part. Maybe your part isn't to have a $5 million business. Well, but I want to have one. That's good. But is that what God's calling you to do? What if he only called you to have, you know, a $500,000 business? You know, we have to start where we are. Now, he may increase us, but we need to follow by faith the measure that he's given to us. Now, can that measure increase? I believe it can. As we what? Walk with him. How many know that when God gave out the talents, he said, you know, they took it. He wanted them to increase it. When God gives us things, we can increase. Faith can also grow. Did you know that? Our faith can grow. It can grow in what? It can grow in healing. It can grow in prosperity. It can grow in joy. Can you grow? Can fruits grow? Can you grow in gentleness? What? As we find what the Word of God says, our character can change. I remember when I was first learning about faith, and I was using my faith where I worked because my boss wasn't so friendly. Well, brother, you know, and I had some people tell me, well, you don't have to put up with it. Well, sometimes you do if that's where God told you to work. And God told me to work there. Or you may have to put up with it if that's, you know, if that's where you are. Maybe you're the only Christian there. God needs you. And so I was using these scriptures. God gave me these scriptures here. Because I'm asking, I'm thinking to myself, am I really using faith? What is faith? Faith is when we believe what God has said and we put it to practice in our life. When we put it in our mouth and we begin to say it and we begin to do it. Hallelujah. And we add to our faith. Here he's talking about in 2 Peter One, he's talking about adding diligence, adding to our life, adding things to ourselves. And we can grow in the things that we had. That's my first point. And then when we look in I might have got that scripture wrong. 1 Peter 2. Just a minute. I don't know which verse it is here. Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. And so I'm working on this job, and my boss isn't so kind. He says, therefore, verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a yoke, as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And then he says this, as servants, or we would say today, employee, be submissive to your masters or to your boss, with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. Or we could say the unreasonable, you know. For this is commendable if, because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering what? Wrongfully. Now, don't go and do all the wrong things and then say, I'm suffering for it. You know, sometimes people do the wrong thing and they're complaining and they're going to work late and you show up and you don't work like you should. You know what you're doing because you hate this job, not the person, in Jesus' name, you know, or maybe you do, you know. But he says we endure it. We do what is right regardless of how we're treated. For what credit is it if when you're beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. In other words, if God calls you to a place and it's not exactly what you want, he said it is our faith. It is what? Our firm persuasion that what God has told us to do, he's going to help us. He's going to what keep us. He's going to strengthen us. And our character can speak volumes to men around us. How many know that it is by faith that we live? It is by faith that we walk with God, not by what we see. And some people would say, now, they've told me that. They said, now, Brother Doug, you don't have to put up with that. If God sent me there, I do. I get to. That's my joy. That's my crown. To honor the Lord in the midst of what may not be right. Why? Because he's looking to save somebody. He's looking for someone that can endure. He believes in you. And if he sent you somewhere, he believes that you can finish the job. I had opportunity to see people change. Because of what? Your example. Because of what you do, they can change. You know, the world's already looking what's wrong with people that know God. Don't you know that? You know, I had a guy come in there before too. He was trying to make fun, you know. And I knew he was lying to me. Oh, well, I divorced my wife last week. You know, I got this problem, I got that problem. And he's lying to me just to try to get me to pray for him, see if I'll feel sorry for him. You know, he's just trying to get me down, see if I'll just believe everything and anything that they say. The world tests you. Sometimes you don't realize you're even in the test. They're watching you. They look to you. Amen. And it's all right. God can make it right. God will help you. God will strengthen you. You say, well, I don't think my character is up to par. I don't know if I could do that. Well, over here in 2 Peter, we were just there a second ago. Chapter 1. He said, as his divine power, verse 3, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, or high moral standards and values, right? Amen. How many think we should have a high moral standard? Amen. That means when all the other people are going out to the bar after work, you're not going necessarily going with them. I mean, you might go and have a water, but you're there to be a witness. You're there to share Jesus and to be an example. Verse 4, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How many know there are lusts in this world, and people of the world, they lust after things that aren't righteous. But we're going after God. We have our lust to know the Father, to walk with Him, to allow His light to shine, and His love to be made known, and His mercy to be shown forth. Verse 5, but also for this very reason, give all diligence to add to your faith. Hallelujah. To the faith that you already have. So we're adding to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. Hallelujah. What is virtue? A quality to have. Intrinsic moral value, I would say. Moral excellence. An excellent morality. That's what virtue really is. He said, to your moral excellence. Add something. Add moral excellence to your faith. To that moral excellence, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. We know what self-control is, right? That means when you feel like yelling at somebody, you don't. Some of you look like, yeah, I didn't exercise that one time in my life. Hallelujah. Well, you can change. He said we can add to our faith things. We can use our faith in what we're doing, to be a witness for the Lord, to be a testimony, to do our job, what is unto God, unto Him. We're not here for the pleasure of man, but for the pleasure of God, and to bring glory to Him in what we say, in what we do, in how we act, in how we live. So we add to our faith that moral excellence. We give all diligence to it. That what we believe, we show in our action. That's really what he's saying here. He's saying, add that moral excellence, add that truth, and then to knowledge. Add knowledge, gain some understanding. How many know that knowledge is not faith, but it helps us? Amen. It helps us in our faith. When we know what God has said, because I knew what God said, God gave me the scripture. Because it didn't look like my boss is very kind. He was rather harsh. At least that's the way I felt about it. Now, I'm not saying he always meant that way. I think he had in some ways, there were certain things in his heart, in his mind. But God had me pray for him. And I would pray, and God would give him favor. And he would go talk to the other higher boss, and we would get things that, you know, a lot of times they might say no to. But one day he went to go talk to the big boss, and God told me, do not pray for him. I said, what? He said, I don't want you to pray for him. Okay. He came back and didn't get anything the boss had asked. Not only that, the boss had questions for him, and within 1 week, he didn't work there anymore. You said, well, what happened? God took him out. God removed him. He did. Not just for my good, but for his good. Amen. I said, well, were you a witness to him? Yes, I was. For quite a while. He was there for a long time. But God was working in me, and God was working in him. Did he know Jesus? I didn't think he knew Jesus, but I found out, well, he's had at least had some experience. Anybody ever find anybody like that? You know, they're supposed to be living for God, but circumstance of life had come. And sometimes we judge people, but we haven't walked in their shoes. We didn't walk where they walked. They might be doing better than you think. You know, his wife had gotten into drugs, and they ended up divorcing and other things and other areas of their life. I don't know everything about it. But you know, when you pray for people, God can show you things if you shut your mouth. And you won't tell everybody. And you won't talk about it. You might not even, you probably won't even let you tell them. Anybody ever been there? You see, a lot of times we want to be this great intercessor, but we have to be willing to be confidential. We have to prove our trust with God. We have to have that moral excellence. We have to give all diligence to add to our faith. What God is saying, the knowledge, self-control, perseverance. Who knows what perseverance is? That means we keep going, right? We don't give up. We don't quit. We have no quitting sense. We don't stop because it doesn't look like anything's happening. How many times have we seen it happen, even here? Praying for things, believing God, and we didn't quit. Amen. I thank God for Miss Jim when she shares her testimony. God told her, pray for her husband. Not 1 year, not 5 years, not 10 years, not 20 years, not 25 years. It should have happened by now. What's wrong with your praying? Nothing is wrong with her praying. God was working. God asked her to pray until her husband got saved. Finally, after many years, 30 years, I believe she said, or more, 30-some years. At least 30 years, believing God, trusting God, standing on what God had said, doing what he told her to do. Whatever that was, it might be like I had, you know, and Jim had shared that. Stop praying. Well, what do you mean? You told me to pray and now you're telling me to stop. Well, there comes a time when people have to reap what they have sowed in their lives so they can see the light and look up to God and see that I need a Savior. Sometimes our prayers are hindering God from working because God honors your prayer. Oh boy, he's preaching good now. It is good preaching because we have to discern the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our prayer. We're not just praying to pray. We're praying for a result. And when we hear God's voice, we have to what? Humble our heart and obey what he said. It's a humbling thing sometimes to listen because we don't always understand. Lord, I don't get it. And God will show us. But sometimes we just have to be obedient right now. I need you to pray right now for so-and-so. Well, Lord, looks like they're doing okay to me. He doesn't care what you think. And we don't know everything. God does. How many know he knows all? Hallelujah. Well, glory. Well, we have to persevere. We have to be persistent. We can't stop in the middle of it. And when we have faith in what God said, and we walk by that, God honors that. He said, it is without faith, it is impossible. We cannot do it. He said, you cannot please God. We must believe what? That God is. What do you believe He is? Do you believe He's faithful this morning? Do you believe He will honor His word? He said, I'll watch over my word to perform it. I hasten to perform what I said. I'm delighting in you. I need men in the earth who will stand, who will persevere. To perseverance, godliness. Boy, we could use some more of that in the earth. Amen. Do people look at you and say, there's a godly person? You say, well, I don't know if I am yet. Well, we can add to ourselves. This is what he's saying. These are things we're adding to ourselves by faith. By faith in what God said. Do we believe that He created? Do you believe He created you righteous? Amen. He gave you Jesus' righteousness on the inside of you. And that's what's working out of us. We did have a work of death in us, but now we got the life of God in us. And by relationship and by honoring Him, spending time like we did this morning, worshiping Him, getting in His presence, He brings forth these things. And to godliness, what? Brotherly kindness. And the brotherly kindness, love. How many think we need some more kindness and love? Doesn't this sound much like the fruit of the Spirit to you? It does to me. Amen. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are all fruits. And they add, he said, you add to your faith. To what? To our beliefs, to our firm persuasion, to our the things that we have been fully persuaded about. I don't think there's anybody in here who doesn't believe that God wants us to live righteously. Amen. That he wants us to have what? Moral excellence in our life. You know, we don't like it. I mean, I'm a pastor. I'm judged more than even people in the church. Why? I should be. I'm held to a higher standard. It's just the way it is. Well, I'm Pastor Doug. Well, then they expect more of you. I'm a Christian. They expect more of you. And you don't have to fail them. You may fail. Then you just say, have you ever failed, Pastor? Yes, I failed. I said to people, well, you just keep watching me. God's working with me. That's what I told them. I just told them just like that. God's still working on me. I'm telling you what, you just keep watching. And they did, and God changed some things. God can transform your life even though it's not perfect right now. He can use you. You can add to yourself. This very reason, he says, we give all diligence. Well, there's a word that's not used too much in the world anymore, is it? Diligent. What does that mean? That means you're steady. That means you're consistent. That means you go after it. You're diligent to think about it. You're diligent to study it. You see, when we put ourselves into the Word of God, He didn't say meditate it on occasion. The Bible says we meditate what? By day and by night. That means when we get up in the morning, before we go to bed at night, in between times, we're thinking about what does the Word of God say? Father, what do you want to happen in this situation? Am I stopping in the middle of the day to check my spirit? I know I was talking with Brother Jim yesterday, and he was telling me how he was praying. How do I teach this lesson, Lord? And God came through. God can bring wisdom, amen, when we what? Listen to our heart. We're listening to Him. It's part of our call. It's part of the faith He placed on the inside of us. We can draw out that wisdom by faith. He said, if we ask for wisdom, it'll come. How many need wisdom today? Amen. Say, I need wisdom. We need wisdom. I'm not talking about the wisdom of the world. I'm talking about the wisdom that comes from heaven. Sometimes His wisdom is, well, will you worship me an hour a day? Huh? How's that going to change my circumstance, Lord? I don't see how that's going to help my problem or what I'm going through. But how many know if we'll obey, we'll see the answer come? If we'll be what? Diligent. Diligence is kind of like endurance and perseverance, isn't it? It's just saying, hey, I'm going to stay in there. I'm diligently, just on a regular basis. I keep feeding myself the Word of God. And do you know if we'll keep doing that faithfully? A lot of times I haven't received some answers to my prayers. I'm just being honest. I quit. I wasn't diligent. I didn't stay after that thing that I desired. I didn't hold it before me like I should. But when I write it down and I am faithful, I may ask God for something. If I write it down and I diligently on a daily basis or consistent basis at least, thank Him for the answer. It has always come every time without fail. You say, well, why haven't you done that more, Pastor? That's a good question. Because I wasn't being diligent, but I'm much more diligent now. Things are changing. I've received things that I hadn't received before. It's getting better. My faith is growing. Things are happening. God is working. Well, how can you be so sure? Because I know who my Father is. He said, I am faithful. I will do it. Faithful is He that promised, says the Thessalonians, who also will do it. And that's another part of faith. That's the other part of it. Knowing who the promiser is. Do you understand? When we know that God is faithful, we don't think He's faithful. But when we know He is what? Faithful. He is faithful. He can be trusted. He's going to do just what He said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many know that God is going to do it? If we can realize what He said, and we're willing to obey what He said, to continue to persevere when a boss or someone around us is being, you know, they're being harsh to us or they're being unfair. It doesn't look like it's in my favor, but God has sent me here. This is what God told me to do. It doesn't look like it's working out, Pastor. I don't know what to do. Don't stop. That's one. I think it was Richard Roberts. He preached that. If you're going through hell, don't stop. In other words, if the attacks are coming, it's not the time to stop. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. How many can believe that God is faithful? Amen. Isaiah 54:9-10. Let's look at that one. See, if we can realize who our Father is, it is not just what He said, but the reliability of the one who said it. Can you trust God? Can He be trusted? Is He a liar? The Bible said He cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. That's part of His character. He can't, not that He could lie, no. He cannot lie. It's hard for us to understand because it's possible for us to lie, but God can't. In other words, if He said it, He's going to do it. If He promised it, you can have it. If we'll match up to His condition. Some things are more up to us than they are to Him. We have a part to play. We walk with Him. We have to work with God. And when we walk with Him and we work with Him, things change. That's how faith operates. It doesn't operate on our own. It operates in a relationship, knowing who He is. 54:9-10 says, For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth. So have I sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you. Hallelujah. How many believe that God is good? That He is kind. He's not going to depart from you. He's not going to leave us alone. He's not going to leave us out there hanging. He's going to come through with His truth and with His word. Because He's not a man. He cannot lie. And He said in the same chapter, verse 17, He said, what? No weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. In other words, your good character will condemn what people say about you. Your perseverance will condemn what men might say or the devil's trying to, what, accuse you of. We stop the mouth of the accuser. Sometimes, not just with our words, but sometimes with our action, our moral character, our good behavior. Amen. Our kindness, we're adding diligence, just being faithful, just being consistent, just doing what God has said. And it doesn't look like it's changing, but God is working. One day I was there, I had nothing. But did you know how I got my teeth? You know how I got a deal with the dentist? Yeah, Tony helped me out to some degree. He was the connection. But I've been confessing it for 8 months before that I have the right person that's going to help me decide what I'm going to do with my teeth. Not only did I decide, I got a great deal. I was believing God. I call it paid for. Had the money to do it. Because He gave me an 80% discount just because He liked me. You think it was an accident? I guarantee you, I know that it was because of what God I had asked Him for and that His favor was going before. Not because I'm a great person, not because my faith is so great, but because He's great, because He is faithful, because He honors what He said. I know it. I don't think it. I know it. It's not a maybe so. I didn't have a connection. I didn't even... You know, it just happened to come out of my mouth one day or something. I don't know. I was looking for a dentist. I'm believing God for the right person. Well, this guy might be good. Why don't you give him a call? Okay. Yeah, come on down. We'll take a look at you. No charge. How many ever been to the dentist? They looked at your mouth and didn't charge you. Anybody? I'd never been, never happened to me before. It didn't happen before. I was charged every time, even to the good Christian ones. Maybe double. No, just kidding. just kidding. Anyway, he was a good man. He was a good dentist. But, you know, they want to be paid, and I understand that. You know, God could have brought me more money. And, you know, I'm not trying to get a good deal. I didn't ask for a good deal. He gave it to me. You know, sometimes people of the world can recognize a blessing of God. People of God. He says, oh, you're a man of the cloth. Oh, $50. Just give me $50. Pulled two teeth, you know. Give me $50. Or $100, you know. I was like, okay. Sounds like a fair deal to me. Here you go. Praise the Lord. How many like that deal? That's a good deal. You know, sometimes it's a good deal. Other times it's free. Other times God makes some other way. He may bring you the money to do it. It's just, it's all walking with Him. It's all that understanding who He is. What did I say? Genesis 9, verse 16 says, the rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. God is faithful. How many know there hasn't been another worldwide flood, as far as I know of, ever? Anybody ever seen one? Heard about one besides Noah's? No, never. And you won't. Because God's covenant, He is faithful to what He has said. Genesis 28:15. Are you realizing, when we realize, yes, what He said, it'll come to pass. When we hold fast, when we are diligent to it, when we allow faith to come by the truth of His word, faith comes. Then what? We have to continually feed our faith, think about it, and we need to speak it with our mouth. Doesn't mean I have to stand here and do that for hours, but I have to acknowledge what He said. in some way, diligently, consistently, totally. I know the times in my life I've been the most blessed. God's blessed me when we realize we say what God said. Ephesians, what does he say? Ephesians 1:3, he's blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Yeah, it comes from the Spirit, but it comes into the natural. How many believe that? How many know that? It doesn't necessarily begin. We want to see it. You know, we want to see it in the natural first, don't we? Sometimes our flesh. Be nice, you know. Well, Lord, could you just write that in blood in the sky? That'd be great. Thank you, Lord, you know. He said, no, I said it. It's enough for us. His word is truth. 28:15, real quickly here. I'll just give a couple more and we'll start closing down here. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you. Do you believe he's faithful? He said, I will do that which I've spoken to you. I'm going to do it. This word right here is God speaking to you, God speaking to me. It's God speaking to mankind. This is, matter of fact, he said, this book, what God has said, this is a more sure word of prophecy. This is a guarantee. He's not going to speak to you anything extra that doesn't agree with what he already said. It may be something specific, it may be for your life, but it's still going to be in line with the word of God. Amen? Well, I want you to pray some more. Well, does the Bible instruct you to pray? Yes, it does. I want you to, like I said earlier, I want you to worship that 1 hour every day. Just spend time with me in worship. Why? I don't know. God knows. But it stabilizes. It may bring you to just a place where it stabilizes your emotions, where you're not moved by the things that are happening around you, and you are become what? Content into a place of peace with Him. He said there is what? Peace and joy in believing. When we believe God, there's a peace and a joy that comes to us. Hallelujah. How many know that? It's true. Why? Because we have come to a place where we are fully persuaded. And we see it done. We see it like He sees it. Well, what do we do while we're waiting on Him? Thank you, Father. I know you're working on it. I refuse to fret. I refuse to become worried, Father. I cast that care on you and I trust you, Father. And sometimes it's work. It's work on my emotion. It's work on what I have to do. Sometimes we have to do things we don't like. Sometimes you said, well, maybe it's because you didn't believe. Maybe so. But how many know that my believer can be strengthened? My believer can keep moving forward. My faith can grow. Otherwise, how are you being built up? When you pray in the Holy Ghost, He says, I will what? Build you up on the most holy faith that I have given you. Faith that's already on the inside of you. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. But if you don't have anything in there, how are you going to build up on it? It is in there. He gave us a measure of faith to fulfill our call. He gave us a measure of faith to believe Him. That means He hasn't forgotten about the finances for your call. He hasn't forgotten that you know, about your life. If you're sick and you've asked Him to heal you, He hasn't forgotten. We can stand on what God's word says. We can believe it. We can speak it. We can hold fast to it. We can be diligent with it. We can begin to add to our life the things that are necessary to walk that out. Faith is a firm persuasion. It's a conviction based on what we have heard. And when we believe God's word and we believe that He is, Do you believe he is this morning? See, he is the one that backs up what he said. And sometimes it's us getting our hearts around what he has said. Hallelujah. Psalm 89. Let's go there for now. I've been reading the Psalms. Praise God. Hallelujah. Psalm 89, 1 and 2 says this. It says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. Oh, how many are thankful that God is faithful, that he'll watch over his word, that you can trust him, that it's not just what we know, but who we know. Paul said, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Oh, hallelujah. Do you believe he's able this morning? Do you believe he will? Do you believe that he hears your prayer? Do you believe that he honors your faith? Faith is the currency of heaven. So, well, what are you doing, Pastor Doug? Well, I take the word of God and I begin to thank him. Father, I thank you that every need of family prayer center is met. We owe no man anything but to love him, Father, because that's what the word of God says. I thank you, Father, that I have more than enough to do all that you ask me to do. I thank you, Father, that you direct my steps. I believe opportunities are coming to me. Why? Because he is faithful. He's my Father. I believe, Father, that you could take care of me better than anybody else. Because you're my Father. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. Based on what he has said. He said, I will supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He said, I'll make all grace abound toward you, that you having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. He said, I became poor in your behalf. Amen. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means it was done at the cross. That means Jesus already paid for it. That means I don't have to work for it. I can receive it by his grace, which is his empowerment on the inside of me. Don't anybody quit your job. Keep working. Amen. I'm not afraid to work. I'm not. But sometimes our work, we don't just work naturally, but we work with God with words. And words produce an end result. Ultimately, I have what I say. Amen? Because I speak what he said. See, when we confess the word of God, what we're saying is we're agreeing with God. That just means to agree with God. To say what he said. When I say what he says, he said his angels hearken to the voice of his word. They start working in my behalf. Have you got your words working for you? That means if you need something, you don't have to pay for everything. Start even with things that you got the money for. I've written things down. There's things that came to me. People have brought me things. I mean, I wasn't here. I was here, I think, 2 weeks, and someone handed me $1,000 cash. Now, brother, have you gotten a lot of? No, I hadn't gotten a lot of $1,000 gifts. But you know what I was believing God for? $1,000 cash, check or money order, and a one lump sum will come into my hand. I'd been believing for it for quite a while. He said, well, brother, it doesn't look like you're working too hard right now. Well, I don't care what I see. Feathers today, chicken tomorrow. What does that mean? It don't look like I got anything today, but tomorrow I will. I've had it happen. It didn't feel any different. It didn't look any different. It doesn't look like anything's going to change. I don't have a clue how it could happen. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to believe what he said. Amen. How many are going to let your faith rise up? Amen. Not just for those things, but for a call. Amen. All right. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're here today. Anybody that needs prayer for anything, you want prayer, the altar is open. We'll agree with you. I know we're praying all the time, so a lot of times it's not happening anything. Anybody have anything you want prayer for online there? Praise the Lord. No requests today. All right. Hallelujah. Well, let's just say this with our mouth. Dad can take better care of me than anybody else. Amen. Hallelujah. How many believe that? He's your father. He's our dad. And he loves us. Father, we thank you for your word today. Father, we thank you that by your Spirit, Lord, you lead us, you guide us, and you teach us, Father, to walk by faith, Lord, with our words, with the actions of our life, Father, and knowing who you are, Father, that you're faithful, that you can't lie, that you'll watch over your word to perform it, Father. That, Lord, faith has come into our heart, and that we continue to feed our faith with the truth of who we are. Lord, in each area of our life, whether it be healing scriptures, whether it be prosperity, Lord, whether it be, Lord, for our relationship and our life, whatever it is, Father, we want to use your word. We want to allow faith to rise up in each area of our life for our godly character to rise up. Lord, if we lack in gentleness, Father, we want to have scriptures for gentleness or in our humility, Father. We want to be more humble, Father. We want to let them rise up on the inside of us and build a fortress, Lord, a stronghold, a positive stronghold for our life, that our faith uses, Father, to walk with you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for every person that's heard this morning, that, Lord, that we can fulfill our divine assignment on the earth. That it is important that we use our faith. It is important that we walk by faith and that we trust you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.